Well, the question at this point is always, how do you follow ultimate cute?
I mean, we might as well just go home.
But we do believe that God is here not only to receive our worship, he also desires to speak to us. And so as we prepare to hear God's word in scripture and in sermon, let us join together in prayer. Father, we thank you that you come to us not so much in theological propositions, but you come to us through a story. A story of your love and your mercy and your grace to a people that don't deserve it. And so, Lord, I pray that as your word is read and proclaimed this morning, that you would open our hearts and our minds a little bit more to the wonder of your story. That we would not only hear it and understand it, but that by faith we would enter into it and come to know you better and worship you in a more deep way. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture lesson for this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter, and I will be reading a longer section than's printed in your bulletin that is kind of the backstory to what you just saw. Listen to the Word of God. In the sixth month, God sent an angel, the angel Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be, but the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul praises the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but the rich he has sent away. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months, and then she returned home. Here ends our scripture lesson. for this morning. The celebration of the birth of Jesus is upon us. And there are a number of themes that are running through the story. Themes of hope and themes of joy. But one that strikes me every time that I read it, particularly in Luke's gospel, is the theme of wonder and of awe. You know, the events surrounding Jesus' birth are pretty straightforward. I mean, they can be acted out by children of any age in a way that touches our hearts. But at another level, they are also too great and too glorious for us to comprehend or explain. That the word that God himself would become flesh and dwell among us. I don't know about you. I know that's true, but grasping that reality just leaves me in a place of wonder. Now, in Luke's description of these events, we read time and time again that the people who were involved, Mary, Zechariah, Elizabeth, the shepherds, those who heard the good news, were amazed. They marveled. And they were filled with wonder. There is something about these events in Bethlehem that was too great to comprehend. They could only stand in awe and in wonder and give praise to God. As you reflect on the lesson that I read for this morning, it's hard to miss the sense that Mary was struck by the wonder of all of it. And indeed, a little further in the story, after the events that were portrayed here this morning, Jesus' birth and the visits of the shepherd, you know, it's kind of like everyone had gone home from the holidays, but what did Mary do? Well, we read that she treasured these things, pondering them in her heart. Sure, wondering, what does this mean? How can this be that such a great and glorious God would work in such a way through me? And so the section that I read, that's known as the Song of Mary, recorded her reaction to, you know, the visitation of the angel and her coming to see her cousin Elizabeth and these marvelous things in the form of psalm of praise and thanksgiving. And it, in it here too, we sense the wonder of God's mighty acts. There was wonder at God's choosing of her. Wonder that God should choose her as the means by which his salvation would enter into the world. Mary, a young, seemingly average woman from a small village in Galilee, was chosen by God. She would bear the child who would be the Savior of his people. She in no way deserved it. There was no qualification exam to be the mother of God. She was chosen. And in the words of her cousin Elizabeth, she would from that point be called blessed. What amazement. What awe. What wonder. There was wonder as well in God's grace and mercy. Mary's song echoed the faith which had sustained her people for generations. Faith in the grace and mercy of God. God's grace had been revealed in choosing them from all the peoples of the earth to be his special people. It had been revealed in his saving acts on behalf of his people Israel. His mercy was demonstrated in the promises that he made to those who were of low estate. Mary herself experienced the wonder of that in encountering God and was moved to praise. There was wonder in the promise of God's faithfulness. God had promised his presence and his faithfulness to his chosen people, beginning with his call to Abraham. I mean, the promise that we see from the Old Testament into New was this: I will be your God, and you will be my people, and I will dwell among you. But in the generations preceding the events that we read of here, there had been a sense in Israel that God was no longer active among them. They had not heard His speak or seen a movement of His Spirit for over 400 years. But now the fulfillment of those promises were underway. A Savior was growing within her own body. God's faithfulness and promises were being revealed after so many generations. And it was a cause of wonder. Mary experienced that working of God in her midst. And she was filled with wonder. Confronted with this mystery, she didn't try to figure it all out. But she received and rejoiced in it as a wonderful work of God. And when you think about it, is God's action in our own lives any less a cause for wonder? The same Savior promised to Mary lived and died on our behalf through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. We too, by faith, can experience change in our lives, forgiveness for our sin and rebellion against God, and a new access and standing before Him. We have the promise of the gift of the Spirit at work within us to make us into a new people, guide us in becoming who God created us to be, and empowering us to carry out His work in the world. We are given the promise of Jesus' return and the promise of His victory over all that is evil, and this confidence that can give us, in living in the here and now. We know God's grace and active care on our behalf, not necessarily protecting us from all the difficult parts of life, but the confidence that He will be present with us and will uphold us through it all. You see, God has worked in my life. He has worked in our lives in ways greater than we can explain or understand. Yet, do we experience the same kind of wonder that we see in Mary? Do we marvel at the work of God in us and for us? Or do we just kind of accept it as the way things are? Or even think of it at all? You see, it seems to me that one aspect of faith is wonder. If we can completely figure something out, or if we don't accept it till all our questions or doubts are answered, then what we have really isn't faith at all. Faith is not, as a child once defined it, believing something you know isn't true. It is not even believing something in spite of the evidence. There are historical and rational bases for faith. But faith steps beyond what we can see or what we can touch, to ultimately trust in the work of one so much greater than ourselves that we can never fully comprehend. You see, and we do not encounter this God without a sense of wonder. A sense of wonder that we'll express as we sing the hymn following this. I wonder as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus, my Savior, did come for to die. That the God of the universe would come and dwell among us. That the God of the universe would die on a cross for our salvation. That's not just a fact to be accepted. It is a mystery before which we stand in awe and in wonder. As we look at the accounts of Jesus' birth, we see that those involved were struck with a sense of wonder at God's work. They marveled at the power and the presence of God revealed in their midst, and they responded with thanksgiving and with praise and with surrender. You see, the events of those days were not the ultimate focus of their wonder. They inevitably looked beyond those events to see and glorify the one behind them. And to that God they poured out praise. In the first two chapters of Luke, we read three psalms of praise and thanksgiving. Those who experienced these events recognized what had happened to be sure, but they looked beyond the mere events to focus on the God who had performed them, and they perceived the hand of God at their work, and they responded in praise and in thanksgiving to the wonder of what God had done. I sometimes wonder if the reason that we're no more passionate in our praise to God is that we don't really perceive Him as the one behind that which happens all around us. You know, we can get so hung up on explanations, on figuring out what caused this or that, that we miss the hand of God at work. You know, as we look at creation, for example, true, there are scientific explanations to much of what we observe, but the God who created and sustains the universe is still the one behind it. As we look at the events and circumstances of our lives, it's easy to chalk it all up to circumstance or coincidence or to fate, but we reflect on them in faith, we may very well see that God is present in the midst of it. And when we come together and worship, it is easy to get wrapped up in our actions and what we do in the quality of the music or the astuteness of the sermon. And you guys are in bad shape in terms of that goes. But the reason that we praise is that God is present. He's here. And as we cultivate, it seems to me, a sense of wonder at God's presence, we will be led deeper to follow the one who is with us. You know, there is probably no better time to begin to cultivate a sense of wonder at the world and the person of God than in the season we're in right now. It's a season that tells a story that can be enacted by very young children, but it is a story, the central piece of God's story of bringing life and hope to the entire world. And as those who experience the event of our Savior's birth were filled with wonder, so we can celebrate them with wonder and praise. We do that as we recognize that we live in the presence of one who is greater than ourselves. That what we see and what we touch and what we experience is not all that there is to reality, but there is a God, a gracious God behind it. And as we become people to understand the character and the purpose of God through God's Word, we can have our eyes of faith open to see, to begin to perceive, you know, how God is working around us. As we become a people who begin to understand that, you know, what we see and touch is not all that there is, that there's more to the story than what we enact, we can become more open to the presence of God who is with us in our lives, no matter what we're going through. As we become a people who open ourselves to wonder, who admit that I don't understand everything that's going on, we can more and more learn what it means to put our trust in the one who is greater, infinitely greater than we, and see Him work in and are through our lives in ways which, yeah, right now we might not fully comprehend. As we move on to Christmas Eve and on to Christmas Day, as we recount and remember the great story of God, Jesus entering into this world, we can rejoice and smile, have a good time at the celebration around that. But let us also open ourselves to a sense of wonder. Is that what this is really about? Is about the glorious truth of God's grace being revealed in that God Himself became a human being to dwell among us so that we might come to know Him, that we might be people who advance His purposes, and we might have be people of hope who will live with Him forever. May we, like Mary, take these truths and treasure them and ponder them in our hearts and allow God to create within us that sense of wonder, which is a part of faith, which leads us to respond to Him in deeper thanksgiving and praise and surrender. And now to our great God and His Son, Jesus Christ, be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen.